everyone. My name is William Del Pilar. I am the conservative Latino and also a fantasy sports pioneer who helped commercialize the industry. And I am here with my good friend,
Big John.
Big John, we've been a little hit and miss with points on the board, but that's because promo time. We've been launching other podcasts.
Yes,
first
we have.
Of all, tell us about Big Questions with Big John and tell us about who's upcoming on your next few interviews. I think one of them at least is going to be a doozy.
Yeah, I've been kind of lucky. I've been scoring some really interesting people that I've run across in my life. We had Dr. Steve from Weird Medicine. I had Mark Hirschfeld on, who's he's a comedy legend in New York and Los Angeles. He's a casting director, so he's responsible for all of your favorite actors in your favorite sitcoms, like Seinfeld and Married with Children and The Jeffersons and things like that. So some great stories from him. I was able to also interview E-Rock, Eric Nagel, who used to be the producer of Opie and Anthony. I used to work in the studio next to him when I was at Sirius XM. So we had a great conversation about some inside O&A stories for the fans out there.
You're assuming. Who is O&A?
Opie and Anthony, yeah. And Ron and Fez also. This week, the newest episode, we just put up an interview with Scott the King Angle. He's a good friend of both of ours. He's also a fantasy sports journalist OG, like goes back to the very beginning. He's a member of the inaugural FSWA, Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Fame. We've got some other interesting people in the next few weeks. We have a Playboy centerfold and cover girl for two covers, who's also an athlete and also has some interesting stories and perspectives on life. That'll be up next week. Then we have another fantasy OG the week after that. So we've got a couple of good definitely the big questions with Big John on sportsgrumblings.com. Check it out. If anyone has ideas on who should also face the scrutiny of Big John, feel free to let us know.
And Big John's lying, people, because he's actually a very smooth interviewer. He gets you comfortable. I was very impressed because on podcasts, anybody can throw up a podcast. And John and I are continually improving our own. But John's a natural on there. He's able to get – you can tell somebody's a natural not by them 100% of the time, but by their – interviewees and how they're reacting to the questions and right. How they're answering them. A good interviewer will get the interviewee to be open about issues he's normally not, because he or she sees no harm coming from the interviewer. And if people were like that more often in life, we'd have a better world. All right, John.
I'm blushing. Am I blushing enough?
I don't care.
All right. There you go. Thank you, William. Thank you.
So our number one podcast after one day of release, maybe not technically number one, but it's going to be after one day of release, is what? And talk to us about it.
Oh, man. It's the explosive new show, TNT, Tim and Tom. See, now, I'll take credit for that. I'm the one who came up with that title, William. TNT, Tim and Tom. And listen, these two guys – they know their baseball. They're fabulous talkers. They're great conversationalists. Tim McCullough, we've had him on points on this podcast as a guest. He's a former original Sports Grumblings editor. Tim started working for me maybe 10, 15 years ago. We've been friends ever since. Check it out, TNT. They covered a lot of baseball in their inaugural podcast. They covered whether the Mets can keep up their pace, the Dodgers, if they're a significant roadblock to the Mets. Can the Yankees keep up their starting pitching? Big question, right?
Lots of
great baseball stuff in there. And like you said, the fan response after one day has been pretty good. We're very happy with those two guys. So TNT, the explosive new show on sportsgrumblings.com. Check it out.
That it is. And as always, I do fired up. In fact, I'm going to be heading to the other studio. That's from the kitchen back to the bedroom. Technically, the home office.
But listen, don't let William sell that short either. If we're pimping shows, Fired Up has been doing very well. It's a bastion of conservative politics. And William and his guest, Karen Roseberry, are doing a great job so far. They both know the detail. They know the minutiae of the inner workings of the political machine. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, definitely tune in. And not only that, but they also tackle social issues as well. So does it lack in sports? Yeah, a little bit. But it's still a great podcast because we are sports and politics, so we don't necessarily care about that. So fired up. You know what, William? I think I need a nickel royalty on each one of those
exactly.
shows.
Exactly.
Because I came up with all the titles.
That's right. Fired up. Big questions with Big John. Points on the board. It's like, what the hell am I doing at this company?
Ah, man. You're the brains behind. You're the business man. You're the business man. You're the money man, baby.
It's like I told you, I told Big John off camera that I tweaked my back today, and I have been blessed. I have not become wealthy, but I have become self-satisfied in a lot of major accomplishments. But I've never actually tried or taken things to that uber seven-figure level because I've never met my desire. I've always done things at a smaller scale. But that said, I told John, I said, damn, I feel like that all-star athlete who just can't get healthy. Tweaked back. Yesterday was voting day. I'm couldn't do much work, getting phone calls for who do I vote for, which real quick, John, yesterday we're doing Fired Up tonight to talk about the primaries. Seven states have primaries.
Right.
And yes, the red wave is coming, except in California. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But at the end of the day, I am answering questions for people that they should know. Like, I'll be 100% full transparency. There were some races I had no clue about. But as I do every cycle, a couple of days before, I open the ballot box or the ballot up and I look at each race, and actually since 2012, and I look for their policies, and I only vote for the conservative. I have left Republican options blank. I don't want to get into it, but in a nutshell, it's your vote must be earned, people. And if it's not earned, don't vote for the candidate because it's the lesser of two evils. Yes, there are times for the lesser of two evils.
Oh, man.
Not always.
Always. William will become one of my tribe very soon because that's a Big John mantra. Don't settle for the lesser of two evils because it's still evil, ladies and gentlemen.
But
exactly. William will still come around eventually. But all right.
Well, actually, I'm there. I just try to be a bit more. Remember,
I just did.
I came from a third world country.
I get you.
All right. You're right, Big John. Let's get to it.
Let's get to some sports, baby.
And tonight, people, can be fun. Lots of opinions. The first thing we're going to go off on, oh, my gosh, it is sports and politics. And we're going to be talking Gabe Kapler. Big John, because give us a quick outline of who Gabe Kapler is and what his beef is with society now. From a rich, white elitist white man.
Well, let's start off by saying – Gabe Kapler is the manager of the San Francisco Giants, the baseball San Francisco Giants. And after the shooting at Uvedale, is that how you pronounce it, Uvedale?
You know what? That's close
Uvedale,
enough to me.
Uvedale,
yeah. I actually wondered myself.
I think it's Uvedale. So Uvedale, Texas, obviously, you know what we're talking about, the horrific shooting that took place at the elementary school there. Gabe Kapler announced that he would not be leaving the dugout to stand for the national anthem in protest. He sort of modified that stance, and he is now deciding whether or not he'll stand for the national anthem on a daily basis. Basically, he said he'll take it on a day-by-day thing. For example, for Memorial Day, he came out and stood for the national anthem. When he was asked why, he said, because even though I still want to protest the issue of gun violence, in no way do I want to disrespect the servicemen who died for the country. So, I don't know, William, what do you think of that? A little bit of honor in him coming out on Memorial Day?
No, it's a cop-out. It's him trying to save some face and be seen as he cares and he doesn't. Look, America, Gabe Kapler is a one percenter. He is a rich, white, wannabe or would-be, or maybe he is elitist. Living in a gated community, I'm sure. And when I say I'm sure, I'll be honest. I know a lot of rich people well above my pay class, and I met them through politics. You'd be shocked at how many rich people there are there. And not a one of them does not live in a gated community unless they live in the rural country area and they have the big spread.
Right.
So Gabe Kapler is a freaking hypocrite because we do have a problem with guns. But does John, who kills – a kid on the street or in another car? The drunk driver or the car?
Well, the drunk driver, of course.
That's right. That's right. So why are we always saying it's the gun that kills? It's these. Look, this is what blows left this away. Is when I bring up, yeah, Ronald Reagan started the mental health. Nobody has mental health issues. But what people fail to realize, he was under pressure. Got to let the mental health out. Got to let the mental health people out. Well, we've let him out. And we got a bunch of nut jobs. Then we got bad parenting. You know, we got the participation trophy kids, you know, who had no moral compass because they've been told their whole lives it's not their fault. Right. Then we got the bad parenting of mean girls and mean boys. And we get the kids from what was the Columbine one. Those were isolated kids who were bullied by the popular kids. You know, so we've got a lot of issues. And people, they're not guns. And let me tell you something. You go to Australia. Australia actually had a gun confiscation or buyback or whatever, maybe what, within the last 10 years. There is video of police brutally abusing, beating, kicking, stomping, physically putting people in the hospital who are defenseless. New Zealand, too. And these are the two countries where their constituents want to tell us, well, I'm in Australia. Well, go bleep Australia, because just like the rest of Europe and the rest of the world, who was there for two world wars to save your sorry tails? Who's the most giving country in the world, second to none, when a catastrophe happens? It's America. So to see Gabe Kapler, you know, would Gabe Kapler sit there and tell those that Jewish ship in World War II, right before it started, that FDR turned away and sent back to Germany? Hey, Jewish people. My brethren, you don't want to come here. It's a bad racist country. What's that? Yeah, I earned seven figures, but that's beside the point. Head on back to Germany. It's much better. You know, and that's my issue with people like Kapler. They are so freaking out of touch, they have no clue. And they look in the mirror thinking, I'm a good white elitist leftist inside the closet racist liberal. And I say that, inside the closet racist liberal, not based on the fact that they're actual racist and hate black people. It's based off the fact the policies they support, they follow, never ends well for people of color. Look at Chester Bowden, who we just recalled yesterday, and I bring him up because he's San Francisco, where this idiot's from. 60% voted him out. And as I told John off camera, America, most of the people who voted him in, upper income, white suburbs, rich neighborhood, billionaire owners. The people who voted him out were the people who had to deal with this. And who do we keep guns from? Those people. The average black family or individual in Washington, D.C. can't afford to buy the gun. They can save up for the gun, then they get the cost of this, the cost of that. And it's purposely done to keep guns out of their hand. So, yeah, John, Gabe Kapler is nothing but a hypocrite, a POS, and an inside-the-closet racist, because he supports policies that have destroyed many people of color. And I'm sorry to have gone on a diatribe, but that angers me, because my final point on this is I was blessed. I was born into a middle-class family. That my parents came from poor to the point they're poor makes Compton look like Beverly Hills. You know, so they worked because of America to get out of that third world crap they were in and to give me a better life. And people like Gabe Kapler would put us back in those lives to make themselves feel good about themselves, because they never look at the results of the policies and programs they support. They just talk about how they supported them. And that's been the Democrat Party and people like Gabe Kapler for decades upon decades upon decades. And I'm done, John.
Well, I'm glad you're done, because I was afraid you might get an aneurysm or something, pop a vein in your head with all that. You're turning red and you're very animated. Well, listen, generally speaking, I don't support gun control. But I don't get as angry over it as you do, only because I don't think the vast majority of liberals and the people who favor gun control do so as part of any Machiavellian plot to either bring the country down or anything like that. I think it's a combination of fear and ignorance. And I'm hoping to get one of my good friends on The Big Question, because he's a 2A constitutional lawyer. His whole law practice is taking on court cases that set precedent to preserve the Second Amendment, right? So he would be a great person. As a matter of fact, the only reason he couldn't join us is because he's actually very active in a couple of cases right now defending two-way rights, right?
Yeah, America. I've been begging John to bring this up.
Yeah, and he promised me. He promised me he's going to do it. He just needs some time in his schedule, which, if we were his clients, I'm sure we'd appreciate that he's prioritizing them, right? But here's the issue, right? Most people see what happened in Uvalde, see what happened in Sandy Hook, see, you know, obviously these types of things, and they say to themselves, "Oh my God, what a horrible tragedy! If only there were no guns, this wouldn't have happened." Well, when someone says that to me, right? My first thought isn't, "Oh my God, they're trying to destroy the Second Amendment. Oh my God, they don't understand what liberty." No, what I hear from in those types of situations is that people are scared and people are ignorant. For example, they think that there's, like, if you ask them how many people are killed in these mass shootings every year in the U.S., you might get some answers like 10,000, 50,000, 100,000.
Millions,
right?
Millions, or some of them will say millions every
year. Yeah, like, it's really not that much. Right. And by the way, even one is too much, if we're being honest. But comparatively speaking, right, how many gun owners are there in the U.S.? How many guns, legal guns, are there in the U.S.? And how many are used in these shootings? Not too many. Then you start.
Oh, John, just for the record, too, I can't remember which gun, but one of the guns, they always kept saying an AR-15, I think it was like handguns or something. It's like the gun they always want to take is rarely the gun that's been used in the mass shootings, too.
Right, yeah, and they keep calling them assault rifles because they think that's what AR stands for. You know, it's like, it's all this weird stuff, or they call it a military. In other words, they use every pejorative, scary thing to describe a semi-automatic weapon, right? So, anyway, Here's the real issue. I in some ways sympathize with those people because they're just like, "Hey man, we want our kids to be safe. I don't want to send my kid to school and have to have them go through active shooter drills. I don't want them to go to school and have to understand where the nearest exit is in case a crazy person comes in." I get that. I'm a parent. I don't take solace in knowing that kids have to do this, right? But
John.
No, but I was going to say.
Are you excusing their ignorance of what they should know?
Well, see, that's why I say I don't get angry at them. See, I know you get angry.
They
should know, but people should know a lot of things. So my first attempt is always going to be to reason with them, right? Because I'll say something like, "Well, what could we do?" Because let's be honest. No one's taking guns away in this country. At least there are 250 million guns out in the country. No one is taking those guns because the only way you could take those guns is to send more guns after them, meaning that the only way you're going to get people – the only way you're going to confiscate guns is literally by sending armed agents of the state to shoot or cage legal gun owners. Right? That's the only way you're going to confiscate them. So when you bring this up to people and you say, "Okay, so what are we going to do?" And they're like, "Okay, we want," and by the way, there's never or rarely any specific things, right? You'll hear people say, "We need common sense gun laws. We need common sense." What does that mean? Well, it means no crazy person should be able to get an AR-15. Yeah, I agree with you. And a crazy person can't get an AR-15 legally.
That's right.
Like, when's the last time somebody who is known to be mentally imbalanced or has just exited an institution or has been on certain meds, you know, doctors are supposed to report that stuff when they present the danger to themselves and others, right?
Right. That's a great point, John, right there. That's the problem, though. You're talking a monumental decision made that will impact a person's life, not just that moment, for years. So this kid in Uvalde, was it Uvalde or the Buffalo?
The race, quote, racist kid, he was up in Buffalo.
No, the one that they had already flagged and had been in the getting a psyche valve. And then he wrote the right things and the doctor let him out. The reason that happens, in my opinion, is because you're going to literally destroy that person's life. And that's a responsibility you have to bear. Now, I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm saying that's human nature. So they're going to be loathed. That kid in Florida, that Hector kid, whatever.
Yes.
Same situation. So they're loathed to sit there and do that. Well, and we don't have mental institutions that can help a lot of that.
Well, yeah. See, we're in some ways, and this is my theory, so please take it with a grain of salt because I haven't done the data analysis. And you know I'm a data guy. You know I'm a data analyst by training, right?
Yeah, we both
have. I haven't done the data analysis on this, but my theory is that we're the victim of our own success with these psychotropic medications and antipsychotics and things like that, meaning that people who otherwise would have spent their lives institutionalized, say, 40 years ago, right, there is now medication to help them. There's medication that, when taken regularly and according to a physician's direction, allow people with these conditions to lead valuable, fruitful lives. And
but that's not the problem, John.
No,
I apologize.
Yeah.
That is part of the problem, but that they're not taking that. But the problem is a lot of times they take it and what happens?
Well, that's what I'm saying, that in some cases, either because they can no longer afford it, or there's some side effects, or they don't follow up. And I've personally known people in these situations. They get off their meds for one reason or another. And when that happens, bad things happen, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you know. Now, do they all end up in shootings? Absolutely not. But
they have something called knives.
Right, there's knives. There's also, they get violent in the streets. They'll start hitting people.
About that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that happen. Now, we're a victim of our success, right? Because eventually we want to get to the point where we can help folks with mental illness by giving them a pill or putting them in therapy, right? So part of it is that, I think, personally. I think that's part of it. Now, the other thing you have to ask is, I've never understood the concept of punishing innocent people for the acts of the guilty, meaning that every time you pass restrictive gun legislation, who are you impacting the most? The law-abiding citizens.
Okay, so John, stop there for 1 second. So are you saying that you don't agree with, or in reading between the lines, are you saying that you don't agree with the belief that the government wants to disarm the citizenry? Because I do.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
I'm asking.
No, of course, the government does want to disarm the citizenry.
Yeah. But see, that answers your question, right?
No, but I'm saying when you talk to people, not politicians.
Okay, gotcha.
When you talk to, because I don't think politicians are people, right? So let me throw that out there. So, you know, they're a completely different creature. But most people who get upset, like the people you argue with on Facebook and Twitter and Getter and Gab and whatever, like most of the people who are against it are because they're just shocked and they're terrified and ignorant, but not ignorance in a negative way. They just don't understand. Listen, most people in New York City have never fired a gun. To them, guns are just instruments of death because through the 70s and the 80s, you had all these handgun murders in New York City, right? From gang members, criminals, right? Drug dealers and whatnot. So
there's a case for most of it.
And Chicago and New York too, right? So for
that, John,
yeah,
one of the biggest reasons for deaths in Chicago, New York City, it's gangbangers do not know how to shoot a gun, so they're hitting innocent people. And exactly, when you play that game, you know, they do that. I'm like, God, I thought that was just Hollywood. He goes, well, they see Hollywood doing it. And that's where the innocent 6-year-old, 12-year-old died, because these gangbangers don't even know how to shoot.
And a lot of those numbers, by the way, those gun deaths that are reported as mass shootings, when you back out gang-related deaths, they come down significantly. And when people say, well, why would someone lie and leave those in? Because I'll tell you why. Because if you were told that the majority of gun deaths are gangbangers killing each other.
And suicides.
Most people, I hate to be this cold, don't give a crap about it, right? Just like when you said, well, do you care if the mafiosos kill each other? And you're like, no, they're criminals. Let them kill each other. But as long as they don't kill me or my family, right? That's how most people feel, right? So there's a lot of...
Question.
Yeah.
So do you think that's why, that's how the rich feel? Doesn't affect them. And they just use the kids as pawns, like this Uvalde shooting, the Buffalo shooting. Are they using those children as pawns for gun control? Because you yourself said it, as various networks and experts have said it, 99% of the time in all these mass shootings, there is nothing in the law books or that they talk about creating that would have stopped this?
Yeah, I think, look, I don't know if the pawns is the right word, but they're taking advantage of a situation. What was that Rahm Emanuel once famously said? Never let a crisis go to waste, right? So, I mean, I don't mean to make that stick just to Democrats. Republicans do the same thing.
But not on guns.
Different issues.
You're
different
right.
issues. Yeah, different issues, right. So, here, so, for example, if someone said, here's sensible common sense gun control. Nobody under the age of 21 should be allowed to buy a gun on their own. Fair enough.
I disagree.
No, let me finish. I was going to say, let me finish. Nobody under 21 should buy a gun. Okay. Fair enough. Are you raising the voting age to 21?
Exactly. You're raising the age to go die for your country.
Right. To enlist, to drink. In other words, the cognitive dissonance to me of saying I can vote, I can go fight, I could do this, I could do that, but I can't buy a weapon at 18, but I could do all that other stuff is just it's intellectually corrupt. Now,
well, John, what about this angle? Because it happens. See, here's the issue. The House for America, the House just voted to raise the legal age to buy a gun 21. I think it's going to fail. The California Supreme Court just this last week ruled it unconstitutional. But here's the kicker. They are telling young women, you cannot protect yourself. You know? And
well, that's the part. Yeah, that's the part they forget about. Because statistically speaking, more lives are saved by people carrying guns to protect themselves than are lost, even to mass shootings. So, but you don't hear those. They don't get reported. They don't get celebrated.
You know what you do here? In Colorado, right around 2018, the Colorado State Senator or State Assembly woman sat there and said, well, just pee on them, pee on them, pee on them! Honestly, that's what she said.
Yeah, look.
First of all, John, are you going to be in the right frame of mind if you're a woman to pee on while a man's trying to rape you? How's that going to work? That's what they said.
Listen, man, I grew up in the South Bronx in the 70s, okay? For those of you that are movie fans, you ever see that movie Fort Apache, the Bronx?
Oh, yeah.
I knew the captain in that movie. Like the guy who the character of the captain was the father of a college classmate of mine.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
And I grew up in that neighborhood, too. None of that is made up. There were hookers hiding razors in their tongues and slicing your throat. You could be walking to get a quart of milk to the corner bodega if you lived in the Bronx, and then someone would just as likely beat you to half to death with a baseball bat just because you were white in a dark neighborhood or you were dark in a white neighborhood, right? There was all sorts of things like that going on. You learned very quickly. Hey, man, at 12, I didn't carry a gun in New York City, but anyone who knows me, I had my army jacket and every pocket had a weapon. There were shurikens, there were switchblades, there were 007s, there were blackjacks, and my father knew about it, and he made sure I knew how to use all of them, right? Because he said, I'm not sending you out, because I went through some rough neighborhoods to get to work and things like that, even at a young age, and he said, I'm not sending you out there unprotected. And he said, but, you know, don't be a criminal, don't be a bully, you know, and he taught me how to use it, right? So anyway, my point being is, if you're going by when is someone mentally capable of owning a gun, look, neurologists will tell you, you know when the human brain is fully developed?
In your 20s.
Speaking? 25.
Yeah, that's same with the human age. Body, right about 28.
Yeah, right around 25, 28, right? So if you're telling me you want to be at the point where kids are not, quote, kids and their minds aren't developing, then you know what? Gun purchasing, 25. Voting, 25. Drinking, 25. Abortion, 25. Getting married, 25. Like all these, like if you're going to be paternalistic, at least be consistent.
But they
That's
won't,
all I'm saying.
Because they're not. So back to Gabe Kapler, though. I think he's just doing this for attention. He doesn't give a rat's tail.
I'm not going to question his motives because.
Oh, I will.
It's your right. It's your right to question his motives. I won't question his motives. I will question his actions, right? So I don't know why he's doing it, because
gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, that is what's the analogy? You're kind of slicing. What's that saying? You're splitting hairs.
I'm splitting hairs.
I'm splitting hairs.
I'll tell you why. Because listen, for all I know, he might be one of these overly affected.
I don't care. Because seeing that kind of irks me, because we have become desensitized. When a shooting happens, I just turn the TV off for the day. Because I know it's like a color by numbers. Is that how to say it? It's color by numbers of how it's going to be immediately political. And then what aggravates me more, and it used to be only leftists, now it's both sides, we're not politicizing it, but, you know, yes, you are. And I feel for your son. I feel for your daughter. I don't want anything to happen to anybody, much less my nephews, relatives, things like that. But because it's like drunk driving, you know, it's like we got to stop drinking. No, we got to stop people getting behind the wheel, but we don't have to stop drinking. You know, we're not going to stop this. So stop blaming me, the innocent person
who
had nothing to do with it, because now you're becoming no better than that. POS, a mass murderer, because you're doing what every freaking dictator wants to do and take my God-given right.
Now,
and
I will.
John, you said, I get angry. That's why I get angry. I've been to 30 some odd countries in my life.
Yeah.
Lived for many years in what is now a third world country. And I've seen the difference in this country and the rest of the world. And honestly, John, that's why I get angry, because I'm like, y'all don't know how we got it. Let's keep it. Let's not destroy it, and we're destroying it.
All right. You're angry. I got you. I'm not going to say any more, because I don't want you fainting or anything, or having your blood pressure.
So John, though, Gabe Kapler, even if – for those who agree with Gabe Kapler, do you think he's using the right vehicle? Because my take is, you're a manager. One, nobody knows you. One, nobody cares.
No, I think a better avenue would have been if he fronted some – political action committee or a group. Like, in other words, he could have used his celebrity to say, hey, we're the baseball managers for gun control, and here's our 10-point agenda. I might not agree with it, but at least it's something. You know, it's like, this is what we're proposing. We're proposing you got to be 21. We're proposing nothing above a 7-round chamber, whatever. You know, like, at least give me something. But to just go out and whine about, we need common sense gun control, we got to do something. Like, that's just – you know what? I will say it the way the great Patrice O'Neill said it. That is just vaginal complaining, because all it does is it's just meant to blow off steam and has absolutely no value to advancing a solution. So – yeah, that's the way I view it. I don't get mad. I just kind of sort of shrug my shoulders and laugh at it.
I get mad. And I guess my final point is that we're such a vile, evil, gun-ridden country. Why is every culture, whether it's a white Eastern European, whether it's a Latino, a Chicano, a Panamanian, a Venezuelan, whether it's a Caribbean, especially Caribbeans, even worse, they don't have a landmass or able to afford a flight over. They're doing these rickety boats. Why are we the number one country they all want to come to? Because we are the greatest country in the world. We can say opportunities, but at the end of the day, John, we are the greatest country in the world. Where else could a 5'7" Latino help pioneer, commercialize, and start a brand new industry that's now a multi-billion dollar industry?
Nowhere.
Sure, technically it could have been done elsewhere, but the lanes that were open to me, I would never have seen or found in Panama. All right, next topic. John, I'll give it a choice. You want to hold off and make the Rays the final topic, or you want to head on into the deep and heavy Watson?
No, let's do the Tampa Bay Rays, because it kind of falls into the thing, and it's the baseball genre. So last week, the Tampa Bay Rays announced that they would be wearing pride patches, you know, to celebrate June being Pride Month. Now, for those who may not know, Pride Month is the celebration of LGBTQA+. I think I've got all those letters in the soup there. So there were 5 players who decided not to wear the patch. And those players were, and I'm reading them off, so pardon my looking off to the side here. It was Jason Adam, Jalen Beeks, Brooks Raley, Jeffrey Springs, and Ryan Thompson. And the spokesperson for the group was Jason Adam. And by the way, they were all pitchers. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but they were all pitchers.
I did not know that.
And basically they said, listen, no disrespect to anybody, and we're certainly inclusive, and we want them to come out to the ballpark, and they're welcome here, but we have faith-based reasons to not support the pride, what pride represents, right? So, and then they threw in, we're not being judgmental. Well, that's a little disingenuous. You are being judgmental.
No, they're not.
Well, they're being judgmental in the sense that
it's either judgmental or beliefs. You can't have them both.
No, judgmental belief can be judgmental, right? If your
belief,
belief
is the way you
judge someone, right?
You know, technically, again, you're talking technicalities. I'm talking perception. The perception is you have your beliefs at your core. That's who you are. That's how you live your life.
Right.
You know, being judgmental is looking at somebody and judging them. You can have your belief and not be judgmental, America. And that's my point. But please, I apologize for interrupting. Keep going.
No, I was going to say, so the question arises, and of course there's been a lot of pushback and outcry, and especially, you know, in that part of Florida, it has a very large and thriving gay community, you know, so.
They've never been to a Latino community then.
Well, at least not a.
What I'm trying to say, people, is most Latino communities are still stuck in the 50s in their mentality.
Well, I think
I'm shocked.
The first generation are. The second generation, I couldn't even tell you. Most of the drag queens in New York are a lot of the drag queens in New York are all Hispanic of some sort, Latino, Hispanic. I'm not going to attempt to say whether they're Cuban, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Costa Rican, Dominican, whatever, Venezuelan. I have no idea, but they're all that Hispanic culture. But here, my take on it, William, is did you ever see that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer decided he was going to participate in the AIDS walk to raise money for AIDS,
seen every Seinfeld episode, but it was a funny show, but I stopped watching it after it went off the air, so I don't remember that.
Okay, so there was this episode where Kramer, Michael Richards, decided he was going to participate in a charity walk to raise funds for AIDS research, right? So he starts the walk, and these two, you know, and they had this sort of semi-recurring gay couple, two gay guys, who were very aggressive. You know, they'd be like, who does not like the gay people? You know, like one of those, you know, flamboyantly aggressive gay couples for comedic purposes. And they walked up to him and they said, why are you not wearing the AIDS ribbon? You know, and you know, the character says, I don't want to wear the AIDS ribbon. And he goes, why? Don't you support the gay people? He goes, well, I'm here walking, aren't I? And he goes, no. You must wear the gay, AIDS ribbon, you know, that red ribbon they used to wear, right? Anyway, so then it escalates into a fight where all the guys in the AIDS parade end up beating the crap out of Kramer.
I vaguely remember.
And he stumbles across the finish line. And, you know, then there was always the joke that Jerry said, see, I knew you wouldn't be able to finish the walk, you know, because he thought he'd be too lazy or whatever. Anyway, what you take away from that is, unfortunately, for a lot of these progressive, woke, social justice warriors, whatever you want to call them, it's not enough to support something. You have to actively accept it and promote it.
That's exactly right.
Right? And that has always been something that I despise. There's a difference between tolerance. There's a difference between tolerance and acceptance, rather, right? So, for example, I have nothing as a libertarian, as someone who just believes people should live their own lives as long as they bring harm to no one. You want to be gay? Be gay. You're born gay? You're born gay. Knock yourself out. You want to wear a dress? You want to wear tight chino pants? And you want to tie down your boobies so you look more like a man and put on a beard? Whatever. Do whatever you want. Where I draw the line is where you force me to promote your lifestyle, to promote your choices. If I agree with them, I'll promote them.
Right.
If I agree with them, but I'm not inclined to promote them, that's my right too, right? I don't have to be your mouthpiece. You're not paying me to be your mouthpiece. I didn't agree to be your mouthpiece. So in this case, I'll take these pictures at their word. But here's the thing. Even if they're not being honest, let's assume for the moment, and I'm not saying there's any evidence of this, but let's assume for the moment they're anti-gay bigots. They're anti-gay racists. Whatever you want to, however you want to phrase that, right? They haven't hurt anybody. They're not promoting hurting anybody. They're not inciting a riot. All they're saying is, we're not wearing this patch. Now, I have no problem with that, William. But let me ask you something, and actually our friends Tim and Tom brought it up on their TNT podcast this week. Are they contractually obligated to do so?
No. Meaning,
now, this one they're not, right? But
Right, because we're talking a faith belief. That's it. They have no job.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, for example, there are some – like, I know soccer has this, right, that if you play for the team – you will wear whatever logo sponsor they get, even if you
disagree with it. I mean, the NFL is the same way.
Right.
But this is a little bit different. This isn't a sponsor. This is a movement. It's completely different. And that's where lawyers get involved, because you can tell me, rightfully so, well, you're wrong, William, it's the same thing. Well, maybe it is legally, but that's what the lawyers will tell you.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I don't know if they were legally obligated to. It seems like they weren't. So I don't think they're violating a contract. It was given to them as an option. What would be interesting to me is if they get cut or sent to the minors as some sort of punishment for this.
Not baseball. Baseball is so intricate, so delicately balanced. I can't see that. And actually, in no sport, unless the person is a what? A scrub. I loathe Mike Tice. You know why I loathe Mike Tice? Not that he was dumb. He was big and dumb. And he was an a-hole. He thought he was the greatest thing to slice bread. I know this person. I've interacted with him a few times.
Okay.
And I'm very new ageist when it comes to understanding, reading people, the big people. And I did not like him. But I really loathed him when he wanted to send that message. This is my team. You'll do it my way. And breaking news, Mike Tyson is sending the message by releasing the punch. It happens to scrubs or players that don't matter. So out of these pitchers, if they're on their last legs or they're not going to make it, maybe it does. But if they're stuck, no. And the problem with that, the reason I say that is in baseball, great pitchers come and go. You never hear of them because celebrity status and greatness in the game are two different things. I want to thank Red Baron at John Parrish from Gab.com. Guys, we're on Truth. We're on Gab. We're on Parler. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're all on all the conservative and the liberal outlets. So judge if you want. We don't give a rat's tail. But he said what you did. And I want to read parts of his quote. I don't want to steal it. It's one thing to not discriminate based on gayness, which is what you were talking about. It's quite another to promote it. And that's the key gist that I got out of it. It's they're not saying they hate gays. They're not saying they're not saying anything about gays. They're just, hey, they're gay. That's fine. But I don't want to promote it. I have to accept it, okay. And that's the key difference. And that's what Jack Del Rio has been trying to say. It's our choice to voice that opinion. Here, my issue with all these people, I don't see you saying that to the Islam people, to the Muslims, because you know Muslims will threaten to kill you and they will follow through. And that's not me saying that. That's actual documented facts around the world.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And this guy Red Baron goes on to say, to treat them as the same and to make this one big decision made for all time, under every circumstance, is megalomaniacal. Is that how you say it?
Megalomaniacal. Megalomaniacal.
And does not work. It is inconsistent with individual rights or self-determination and governance. And you can tell where he's headed. He's headed towards the Constitution and what embodies America. You know, Sarah Spain, because that's what I had tweeted out. Sarah Spain is a socialist, an authoritarian. A person would not hesitate to use violence against others. And I agree with this 100%. That's why I get so angry. You want to cancel these pitchers. You want to destroy their lives because accepting something is not good enough. They have to drop to their knees for you.
No, let me change your words, William. It's not acceptance. It's tolerance. There's a difference, right? So I agree with
that. No, they want more than tolerance.
No, that's what I'm saying. They want acceptance. They don't want – you're right. Like, I think the only thing you are entitled to from me is my tolerance, as long as you're not physically harming me. But I'll go a step further. You want to discriminate based on gayness or based on race or based on economic stature? That's your right, too. People don't want to hear that. But really, that's your right.
Like, yeah, people, that is the libertarian. I always say this because it's so true. That's the libertarian in John coming out.
Yeah, because listen, First of all, very few libertarians that I know are racists. Very few are bigots. Very few are anti-homosexual. But I always use my example. I think there should be no drug laws, right? There should be no drug that you can't take legally, right? And people say, oh, why? Because you want to smoke dope all the time and all that? I'm straight edge.
Yeah, I got that too.
I'm straight edge. I don't drink. I don't smoke anything. Cigarettes, weed, whatever. I've never taken pills. My doctor always yells at me because I don't take my prescription medication because I don't want to put that in my body either, all right? But that's my choice, okay? But I will never, ever, ever, ever deny you from saying I want to smoke some weed. So why would I have these drug laws out there, right? So that's the first thing. It's the same thing with speech. Again, I'll turn to Patrice O'Neill. He said, and he was a black man, for those of you that don't know. He said, I endorse
a funny black man.
A very funny and very wise black man. He said, I endorse hate speech. I endorse hate speech. And when they said, why would you endorse hate speech as a black man in America? Why would you endorse this hate speech? He goes, because I don't want anyone having the right to shut me up when I have something to say.
Right.
Okay? And that's right. People don't understand that because people say, well, hey, if it's hate speech, it's so offensive. Why would you fight for someone's right to be offensive and to be so racist? And I'm like, because eventually someone's going to come to you and shut you up because they find what you have to say. Right?
Yes, that's kind of happened at times.
Yes.
Since BLM. They kind of cross the line to kind of go after Democrats. And I'm like, that's what happens, you know? When you let something go unchecked and abusive towards others and you're okay with it because it's your ideology – it's going to turn on you, sheep, because at the end, that's what you are, sheep. And I'm not saying this derogatory. We're all sheep because the lords who rule over us have that power. And that's why I get so angry. That said, I thought this Red Baron hit it on the head, as you did, John. It's one thing to discriminate or not discriminate or accept it, but it's a whole other thing to promote it. And again, I will go back to my other comment. I don't see the pro-LGBT crowd going after Muslims, and we know why. So they don't believe in equality.
Oh, hey,
they
by the way.
They want to attack and destroy Christianity because that's what most of us are.
You're right. And by the way, I don't know if people remember this or not. The South Park guys, Trey and Matt, they were once incensed when Comedy Central edited out their depiction of Muhammad in one of the South Park episodes.
Oh, that's right.
And they marched into the office of the offices of Comedy Central executives and said, why did you do this? And they said to them, because, and they were very, and Trey and Matt have said this, because they said, we are terrified someone will kill you. Or someone will bomb our offices.
Yeah.
And the very clear statement was, you can make fun of Christians, you can make fun of Jews, you can make fun of Buddha, right? Because in South Park, anyone who's a South Park fan knows, they have Jesus show up to do stupid things. They have Buddha show up to do stupid things, right? They have some weird rabbi guy some magical dreidel or something that shows up, right? In other words, nothing is off limits for those guys. But they were banned and edited and censored when they were talking about Islam and the Prophet Muhammad specifically, because of the known violent reactions to it.
Okay.
So, and look, it was in the news yesterday. India, something happened in India where somebody made fun of Muhammad.
Then, there was a joke. Of Muhammad and his 9-year-old daughter or wife or something like that, and the Muslims went crazy. And, you know, Christianity was like Islam back during the Dark Ages. They had their hands in every government. Contrary to the ignorance and stupidity and just ignorance and stupidity of Obama, however, they didn't start the Crusades War. The Muslims did by invading our lands. But my point is that Christianity, through those various popes, were just as vile as any government in its time. And Islam, the fundamentalists, when they get to that point of wanting to kill you is for making comments, that goes against our constitution and our beliefs. Yet we have cowards here, both who are elected and who are left leaders, who sit there and refuse to sit there and challenge that or acknowledge it. And until you acknowledge situations, problems, whatever, we're never going to resolve them. Does that mean I don't care for Islam? No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking factually in what has happened. Yeah.
No, so I'll say it outright. I don't care for Islam.
Well, to me, to each their own.
No, no, I would never ban it. But, like, listen, Bill Maher, who is so anti-religion, everybody knows that. He made that movie called Religious or something like that.
No, that's right, that's right.
Right? He hates religion with a passion. But even he tells you, like, listen, there's clearly one religion that's a lot worse than every other religion. He goes, I'm not worried about offending Christians to the point where they'll chop my head off. I'm not worried about the Jews coming after me because I made a few jokes about them running the banks. He goes, but guess what? I make fun of the Prophet Muhammad. I have to have a security detail around me. That Texas display of anti-Muslim art, they have every right to do it. I don't know why you would invite that sort of danger.
But why make fun of any religion? I mean,
I got you. Like, there's other things you can make fun of. But fair enough. Like, again, I'm not – I am such a free speech absolutist, William. You know that. Yes. Say anything you want as long as you don't put your hands on me. If my ideas can't beat your ideas, then you deserve to say whatever you have to say. You know what I mean? That's why I never take exception with that. But anyway, what I feel about the race.
I want a political career. I don't really care about Islam, Christianity, any religion. When I say I don't care, I mean I don't care to sit there and put my will and beliefs onto those religions and change them. They're there for a reason. You know, I was actually talking about Tibetans the other day with a friend of mine who's a UFO buff, and we're talking about the hollow earth theory, you know.
Oh,
and well, the reason he sent me something. I'm into UFOs, Bigfoot, Sasquatch. I want to believe, but I don't believe because I'm like, show me the proof. I mean, I'm a believer, but I can't believe because no proof. But that said, with the hollow earth, the Tibetan beliefs are so deep with that. I was so shocked, and that's what he was sending. But again, my issue is like, well, maybe that's why it never took off. But to each their own.
Right.
That's what they want to believe, and those guys are some meditative junkies. I got a bad back. I'm sure they got a meditation process that'll get rid of it. They are good at what they do, and God bless them, or their God bless them, whatever the saying is. All right, we got a little extra time. We're hitting close to our limit, though, John. I don't want to keep the troops too long here, but we talk good stuff and we get passionate. That's great. What's been making the news? Part 2, part 3, 4, 5, whatever you want to call it.
Part 66.
Deshaun Watson.
Part 66 with Deshaun Watson.
Exactly. So Deshaun Watson, I'll take the lead here just because it's on my mind, is we knew he had 22 happy endings. The question was whether they were coerced or consensual. And the reason that's the question is because whether people want to admit it or not, that young man has incredible power to destroy those masseuses if he wants. Because of his fame, his wealth, his ability to get people to listen to him. The Browns supposedly did their due diligence. We've done our due diligence here, people. He's our guy. $225 million guaranteed big ones. He's going to take us to the Super Bowl. Well, the real question now is he even going to be around to make it to the Super Bowl? Women 23 and 24 have come out, 24 coming out of the blue.
Well, no, William, she didn't come out. She didn't come out of the blue. She saw the other women's stories
on real
TV, and
real
then she
something
said,
with Brian Gumbel.
Yeah, and said, "Oh, wait a second, that happened to me too." And then that's what inspired her to file the suit. So
was she watching, and then she goes to her boyfriend, "Honey, hold my beer, I'm going in." Yeah. But that kind of came out of nowhere. And you brought up a very good point. These women, perception-wise, in the eyes of public opinion, lose a few points because they're being represented by Tony Busby. And rightfully or wrongfully, he's kind of been portrayed as the ambulance-chasing lawyer. No one denies that.
Yeah.
But it was Rusty Hart in America who said, a man has the right to go into a massage parlor and expect, not be surprised, not ask, but expect a happy ending. You know, that to me has taken anything that could be from a $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 settlement to each woman is going to start at probably $1 million. Because Harden in that comment has lost every civil case. John brings up a very good point, but I'm always, I don't want to say chastised, that's too wrong, but I'm always pushing back at the fact, John, you're right. Technically speaking, you're right. But perception versus reality, perception will trump. An older woman on that jury going to look at the girl, well, you're dressing provocative, or whatever reasons. Right. Or they're going to look, or in this Me Too movement, they get some young people. We don't know how they're going to think. But my question to you, John, and we really can't answer, we're not women, is how do you feel about a man telling an industry that is mostly women that, hey, it's your job to expect my guy here, my superstar player, to expect to be part of Club Tug? You know, right, yeah. I'm not asking John to answer people.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, it's gotten progressively worse. Now, the New York Times this week came out with a story, hold my beer, 22, 24, get out of here. The man had, it wasn't 66, John. You're wrong and I'm wrong. It was at least 66 women.
Right, it was so, at least 66,
so
yeah.
This guy has a mental issue. He's got to get laid. Maybe he's got a small penis, and he develops his manhood by wanting to get laid. There's actually a psychologist theory about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you know when I read it? It was during Bill Clinton's heyday. Mm-hmm. But my point is that's he is a handsome man, a man of wealth, a man of influence, a superstar. Don't you think that he can just go out and get a woman if he wants?
Well, yes. And listen, I've been around athletes in college, you know, when these things happen, but they're not reported.
Right.
There's something in the mentality of an athlete. And certainly I would say probably starting at the high school level, but definitely by the time they get to a college, like especially if they're in a D1 college, where they think women are, they should have access to women at all times, you know,
right.
And
never be told no.
Yeah, and it's an insatiable need. Now, most of the time, or I would say the overwhelming majority of the time, it definitely is that these women are more than willing participants, meaning that they don't mind getting together with the star athlete because, oh, what if he decides that he wants me to be his girlfriend or he wants me to marry him? Now, that's not a very feminist thing I just said, but like to your point, it's reality. It happens. There are a lot of these women. It's not coincidence that when you see the wives of a lot of these top athletes, they are all like dime pieces, all of them, right?
Super high,
right? Yeah. And it's not a coincidence, right? Because some of these athletes are not attractive men, but they get the most gorgeous women, right? Now, it could be because they're athletes, could be because they're wealthy, whatever reason. I'm not judging that. Yeah, I'm not judging that.
That's the biggest reason, and that extends to non-athletes.
Yeah. Now, as we said before, my position is there should be no such thing as vice crimes if they're done voluntarily, meaning I don't believe prostitution should be illegal. I don't believe happy endings should be illegal.
Not illegal if it's consensual.
Well, happy endings technically in a massage parlor are illegal in a lot of counties, in a lot of states.
Because a transaction is taking place. And that's
right. That's what I mean. It's
a form of prostitution.
It's a form of prostitution.
But if it's consensual, he was saying, then there is. It's just too
right. Dumb. But if it was the expectation that they were getting paid for this, then it's a crime, right? But,
right.
So let's get something out of the way. In terms of it being criminal, the grand jury in Houston already decided that it wasn't a crime. It wasn't enough to bring an indictment. So all we're talking about now are civil damages where the burden of proof is much lower, right? Much lower. So,
well, John, to explain to the audience, to convict in the criminal, I think you need the whole jury to convict.
Right. Everyone. Yes. It has to
and
be unanimous.
Civil, it could be
the majority. It's just the majority. Yeah. So, first of all, what's interesting to me, and I not too many people are talking about this, but what are the woke dynamics of this trial? There's so many conflicting here. First of all, you have abused, slashed, taken advantage of women. So Me Too movement, woke movement, right? I'm trying to figure out who the woke social justice warriors should be backing, right? Is it the abused / underserved women that are being taken advantage of by the patriarchy?
They're not.
Or is it the black man who forever has been put down by white society, who now finds himself in a position of power and, much like many other white executives, perhaps Robert Kraft, just went to avail himself of a little rub and tug. What's the big deal, right? I can almost picture a social justice warrior having to pull up a spreadsheet and checking off, like, okay, wait a second. Women more oppressed than men. Okay, so we're here. Oh, wait.
John, what you're
saying,
white
women, man, black men, right? So where do we end up on the outrage scale on this? Who should they be backing? To me, that's never talked about, but that's a subtle undercurrent of this dynamic, right?
Well, that's the politics of it. What are we going to use this situation to gain? Meaning, yeah, they don't care about the women. They don't care about Deshaun Watson. They care what they can get out of it. And that's sure. The other side. One thing you didn't bring up, John, that's extremely important, that is detrimental toward the women, and I'll give you a business analogy, is we were at times in a position where a company that we had a contract with, and the contract may have been coming up, we provided content to the major players, Sportsline, CBS right. Sports at the time, Yahoo, Fox. Sometimes they'd want to get that extra ad in or something. And we're like, well, hell, if we don't do that, they're not going to renew this contract or it's going to go south on us. And that's what's coming out from a lot of women. The 24th woman said, well, I never said anything. This is a powerful young man who could destroy my business and my career. And he's right. What's the thing? A couple of whispers. Yeah, don't go to her. You know, spread the word. I mean, we're not talking women who have multi-million dollar contracts like these athletes. You know, we're talking working-class women. But, John, it's not just these women. It's any industry.
I agree with you to some extent. But here's my pushback on that, right? If you're afraid that by not – let's assume woman 24, right? Deshaun Watson says, I need a happy ending or I'm going to tell everybody on the team not to come to you, right? Not to
you. Well, it's already done like that, but yeah.
No, but
yeah.
But let's boil it down for simplicity, right? And she says, all right, I got to give them a happy ending so I get other customers. Well, by the way, what kind of other customers do you think you're getting – when you agree to a handy in order to get customers, right?
Absolutely. Apples and oranges, because you can use Deshaun Watson's name to advertise the hell out of your business and grow it a lot without expecting you have to give happy endings. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about, this guy's a resume builder. If he can open a lot of doors on that, but he wants to give me happy endings. And you add that with the potentially destroying your business by losing business again. We're not talking multi-million dollar business here. We're talking women who, and I've gone to a lot of masseuses just because I've been in acting my whole life, active and all mm-hmm. that, and it really helps. And I have never met to this day, and I'm sure they're out there, just like certain hairdressers are living in the seven-figure world, yet 99% of the rest are living in the working class. Same thing with the masseuse industry. So I never openly believe, I'm like, got to see the evidence. But on the surface, I'm like, that's plausible. I'm not going to say no, that's not plausible, because it's very plausible. I have been put in that situation as a young male working as a fast food. Here's the difference. As a young male working at the fast food, I did not care because I wanted to get laid because I was young, heterosexual, 18-year-old male, you know? But that happened to me. And it wasn't worded in such a way that well, it was worded in a similar way, meaning, hey, baby, you're looking good. Yeah. She was drunk. It was New Year's Eve. I didn't care. But what if it had been the roles reversed? What if I had been a woman and that had been my male boss?
Oh, yeah. Look, there's no justice like that. I'll tell you something from my history, too. When I was on Wall Street, I was flat out told, and I was literally given by a female executive who – you know, on the org chart, I was like 2-3 levels below her, right? She literally walked up to me, put a pair of keys on the desk and said, I want you in London, and you better show up at my apartment first thing. And she told me, I don't want to be disappointed. Right? And here I am, maybe 25, 26 years old. I was engaged at the time. And she arranged this trip for me a week before my wedding. Okay. So,
and to the world, we were much better looking back then.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like obviously, but that was like 40 pounds ago at least. But my point being, people think this only happens to women. No, it's a power dynamic. Now, if it happens that more men are in power, maybe. But
well, that's true. It's a man's world, and I mean, yeah, I don't deny that.
To that extent, you're right. But listen, people who think only men do this, no. Women in power do the exact same thing.
Teachers. How many teachers with a sexual teenager? It's hundreds now over the last 20 years.
Well, the old joke is when you catch a man doing it, a male teacher, he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And when you catch a female teacher doing it, you say, man, where was she when I was that kid's age?
Yeah, or that kid's
or that kid's lucky. Yeah.
But that's how men think, America. Yeah. John and I just aren't sugarcoating it. You know? And for the record, she did give me a better schedule. Not that she gave me a better schedule, but she was more open to the fact of – because I was going to college at the time,
right?
You know, working with my schedule. And to this day, she was drunk. She probably meant it half jokingly because I was pretty lit myself. And as I told people privately, I'm a lightweight drinker. Mm-hmm. But man, you know?
Did you know?
Said, John,
yeah. I was going to say, did you know there's actually a genre of reality pornography that is young college dudes who bang their female landlords for rent money? It's a genre of porn where they set up the cameras, right? And they film themselves. And listen, if it's acting,
you mean it's like amateur porn where they're filming them?
Yes,
actually doing
yes,
it?
Yes.
It's not the setup. Or the realtor.
Right. Or the casting couch. Listen, if it's acting, it deserves an Oscar because it's very realistic. But apparently
what are you doing in your spare time?
Oh, man, I'm a big porn junkie. But anyway, no, but what I'm saying is there's this genre where it's just like these dudes who are broke college kids who had off-campus apartments, and the way they paid for it was by just having sex. And these women, by the way, these female landlords are all single, and you find out that they started buying up these properties around the college town because they knew they would get these young dudes who would always be half broke, right, for the most part, because they're college kids, right? But it's interesting. And so it's not – my whole point was it's not – just because it's a man – theoretically, taking advantage.
It's like rape. What John is trying to say, it's like rape. And there's always another side, but in society, we pigeonhole it into one. So real quick, back to Deshaun Watson. The final caveat, not the end of the discussion, but the final caveat is what? It turns out that the team was giving, the Houston Texans people were giving Deshaun Watson someplace, I guess a posh hotel to use, and NDAs for them to sign after a woman complained. But we'll get the true details. This is kind of what a couple of stories have been starting to say.
Yeah, right.
From New York Times. But regardless, that's why jobs have certain lines in the sand they don't cross. This is a business. You can't do that. But it's harmless. 99 million times out of a billion, it will be. Not in Deshaun Watson's case. John, how do you think this ends after it's awesome? Oh, hold on. Before the final question, we forgot the third party, the threesome that's not involved in the threesome, Baker Mayfield. It came out this week that they told him not to attend mandatory minicamp. If this gets worse and worse and worse, the NFL is in a corner. Right now, the NFL wants it to blow over, hope it settles out, and they quietly suspend him for 2 to 3 games. The reality of this is with 22 women, 24 women, the juicy details of orgasming on the face, the chest, the I'll fear for my job. I'm not trying to be gross, people, because this is what's going to come out in the trial, and it's going to get ugly. It's going to get very ugly.
I think you meant to say sexy.
Yeah. Sexy for all the people wanting to get their fill of drama. But that said, you've got Baker Mayfield still under contract. If this gets any worse, it wouldn't be shocking for me to sit there and see that the NFL forced to suspend him for a year What do they do with their quarterback situation? What happens to two questions here? What happens to Baker Mayfield if this worsens and gets uglier and the team still has him? And before or after the decision, they still have him. And where do you think this does end with Deshaun Watson?
Well, they're not keeping Baker Mayfield, even if Deshaun Watson gets suspended, in my opinion. He's gone. He doesn't want to play for them. So they'll either cut him or they'll try to work out some trade for somebody else's disgruntled veteran. You know, I think that eventually. But my guess is they'll cut him. That's just my feeling. I'll tell you what is surprising to me. With all that guaranteed money, Deshaun Watson should just pay these women and get it over with. Make an offer. If I'm Rusty Harden, rather than walk around saying stupid nonsense like he deserves
like
a happy
ending. Case comments?
That was horrible. I don't know, like, what would possess a man to say that publicly? Like, John, you could think it, but why say it?
What do I always tell you about life? Perception versus reality.
Exactly. Why
in
say
America,
that?
People view perception as truth, and it is truth in their eyes. And in that moment, an old 60-some-odd white rich guy from a different era in terms of his upbringing, his philosophical beliefs, etc., he spoke what he believed.
Yeah,
and
no.
That's when it cost Deshaun Watson.
It's going to cost him. But honestly, I would just, with that money, and again, it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say, but he should just cut each one of those women a $500,000 check and say, listen, this is the one going price. Come one, come all.
You think it's going to be $500,000 only now?
Those women would immediately – because don't forget, they're also paying – what's his face?
They're
lawyer.
Not paying Busby. He's going to get a cut of whatever.
No, but that's a payment, right? That's a third.
So the more they get, the more they get, and the more he gets. See, I agree with you, John. First of all, Mayfield, if he gets a year suspended, I think Mayfield should want out. It's like somebody sent a meme saying, hey, Deshaun's been suspended for a year. You know, what kind of dearth of QBs out here?
Right.
And Mayfield responds, man, I feel for you. Good luck. and that's what I think he should do, because he's got this guaranteed money and they stabbed him in the back. And the reason I say stabbed him in the back, it's I'm not a Mayfield fan, actually. But you don't sit there and stab somebody in the back as they did after he laid it out on the
line. He put his body on the line.
Exactly.
He put his body on the
and
line.
We're not talking a game that we're accustomed to having played as kids. We're talking one of the most vicious sports where the hits can come at from speeds at 25 to 30 miles an hour and two forces going at one. So it's a devastating sport. I think he's gone. I think his agent's going to say, hold out. And even if you have to hold out to week 11 and then we report so that contract can, they have no reason to hold
it's just crazy to me. Like, if I was the Browns, I would take on like half his salary to trade him if that's what
they won't, John. They're stubborn. I mean, John, do you believe they actually did any due diligence on this issue or just took his word?
No.
And that's why they won't do that. They're too incompetent. This falls under my rule is how can a billionaire business owner, extremely uber successful, be such an idiot in owning a ball club? And I say the same thing about politicians. A lot of billionaire, multi-billionaire owners in the politics, and then they hand the reins off to an idiot, consultant. You know, so what I see happening is Deshaun Watson's ego is why he won't settle. But the reality is he's not looking at $100 million or $500,000. Maybe for some of the minor ones, meaning we're just hanger-ons. I consented. I enjoy doing it. Hey, let's go out next week, Deshaun, after all this is over. Sure, maybe they'll settle for $500,000. But there's going to be a handful of women. We're looking at $1 million easily. And some, I believe, we're looking at $5, $10, maybe even more. For the simple fact, which story garners the greatest publicity and gets attached, and how quick they're going to move to cancel him. Because Shalice Malise Young, who I respect a lot, is a reporter for the who used to actually do reports for KFFL. That's how I know her. She's with Yahoo. We completely disagree ideology, but I was shocked at the fact of how down, how angry, how unsupportive, how she was like, this man's a predator type moment. And that's what I see slowly building up. That snowball that turns into an avalanche. And that's what he doesn't want to nip in the bud, because he's too ignorant right now. He's not dumb, but he's ignorant thinking he can get away with all this right now.
But that's why you should have a good lawyer. Like, I don't blame
Watson. Who's the smarter lawyer? Busby or Harden right now?
Oh, they're both.
It doesn't matter though. We hammer Busby as a lawyer, but we don't do much to Harden. But who's made the calculated error that can destroy his client?
Oh, it's Harden. That's right. Yeah, like Harden should have told Deshaun Watson, look, this already cost you a year of your career. It's probably cost you the Hall of Fame. Like, you got to put this to bed, son. Like, don't admit guilt. Have them sign NDAs and then just, you know, hand out some checks. You just got $252 million guaranteed from the Browns. You know, honestly, take $50 million of that, if that's what it takes, and shut them the hell up. Like, seriously, you know what you did to them. In your soul, if you're Deshaun Watson, you know what you did. Now, you may not think it was criminal, right? I could see where Deshaun Watson said, I didn't do anything wrong, just like Michael Vick didn't think he did anything wrong by drowning those dogs, right? Because that's the way he was raised.
So, like Charlie Manson didn't think he did anything wrong.
But Deshaun Watson, I could see where he might be whatever of the mindset that he did nothing wrong. But his lawyer should be pulling him aside and saying, listen, man, you've lost a year's worth of your career in your prime years, by the way.
But, John, he actually did do that, and Deshaun has settled out with 20-some-odd women, but a few held out because he wanted to go to the Dolphins. You know, Deshaun Watson wanted to be known as the king of Toad Club, and the Miami Dolphins wanted it resolved. And when push came to shove, he couldn't get it resolved. One, I think that payout was a joke. Now that all this has come out, in his mind, Harden has a number. We don't know what that number is, but I guarantee you it's not 100,000 or half a million anymore. Yeah. And for the more egregious ones, because here's how life works. A woman could be completely lying. Boy, but if she comes across with those tears, with the girl next door, with the story, it doesn't have to be a woman. Any human being who has that ability, that defense is doomed.
Oh, and by the way, in a civil trial, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, those people in the jury box could just look at the woman and say, you know, we feel sorry for her. Oh, but there's no evidence that he did anything wrong. We don't care. We feel sorry for her. That's it. We feel sorry for her. And that's why I think it's idiotic that they haven't settled. It's just idiotic. It's way too public.
Well, John, it also brings up the question of this. Is there a morality clause? Meaning they may say, because remember, they go, no, they probably have in the contract, nothing that's happened can be used as a morality clause. But it's like a prenup. Here's the thing that people don't understand about a prenup. A prenup only goes, unless it's been structured completely different, but only goes up to the point you're married. Right. But there, the law looks at it as both of you earning money. So what I wonder is if there is a morality clause, because I would say not, knowing the Browns, but that's what they already asked and they said there is. But does that morality clause stop and women 23, 24, and those other at least 66, 40 some odd, if you remove the 20 some odd, do they fall under that? No, that's different, Deshaun. We didn't know about this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, is it enough to invalidate the contract? Maybe.
Dude,
but
this is going to get uglier.
Maybe, but then they gave up all those picks for him, too. Like, you're not getting those back, even if you do rescind this contract for a morality.
Oh, yeah, because that's on the Bears. And this happened technically under the morality. This would be after the contract, meaning the contract was kosher. The trade was kosher, done.
Yeah.
These issues have now been learned since the contract. So, yeah, it wouldn't affect the Texans. However, who enabled him?
Well, I don't know if they enabled him or not, but
if they're giving him an NDA,
it's starting to come out. Because listen, I know that a lot of employers, I'm not sure about NFL teams, but a lot of employers, if you went to them and say, hey, I need some legal help, use our lawyer. So it's not an uncommon practice.
Doesn't matter, John. Ignorance of I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yes.
I'm saying, but in that scenario, I can already tell you from the military, there is no ignorance of the law.
As an excuse. Know? Yeah, no. But what I meant was the Texans could say, for example, he wanted an NDA not to hide rub and tugs, but to prevent these women from, example, saying, hey, he's got a small penis and making fun of him on Instagram, right? Yeah. That, like, you could go to the team and say, can I have an NDA for them to sign for that purpose? Now, if that's a misrepresentation, and the Texans could say, hey, we've got like 10 of these for 10 different guys because they don't want to be made fun of or whatever. So we'll find that out. It's hard to say because we don't have details. But
John, even if that's true, this is what you're going to get. I was on the stand.
No, I get you. I get you.
I need a moment. Yeah. It must be running up. Judge, give me 10 minutes. And she's carrying it off. I mean, I'm not making fun of the women here. Please.
No, I got you. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm being realistic with how life works. See, John, the problem with life is, and you and I have paid the price for being our own person in life. But the reality of the matter is, there's what you want to believe, what you want to do, and how you act on it, and what's really going to happen.
Right.
You know, and at the end, trials are choreographed as much as possible by both sides. So that's what I'm kind of poking fun at, because this boils down to, if it goes to court, who's the better actor? I.e., they'll term, who's more believable? But in the end, who's the better actor?
Right.
And you know, John, it may take me a while, but I can learn how to cry. But I'm not going to say I met with Deshaun Watson. Not good for the image.
No, William, here's my comment. For what we agreed would be a very quick podcast. Yeah. We've talked ourselves into a stupor, it seems like.
Well, I think this is a great podcast, and everyone, we have a slew of podcasts, a new line of podcasts, like they say in the fashion world, TNT, Fired Up, The Big Questions with Big John, and I'm going to be substituting a few episodes because there's some people I want to interview, and Points on the Board, you know, and we are going to extend into getting a football podcast, a basketball podcast, and we're going to get into it, we're going to get into all of it, so be sure to bookmark sportsgrumblings.com. Check out the podcast and feel free to give us feedback. We need feedback. We're looking to improve. And we thank you for listening. Any final words, John, before you tell us good night?
No. Good night.